Cappers, happy Monday. It is a very interesting edition of the Daily Tap for Monday, December 3rd, kicking off the month of December with a bang. Mike McCarthy is no longer the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Yes, you know that. It's been wall-to-wall coverage. It is a wild time. Right now, I went from not wanting to listen to sports radio after just an absolutely horrid loss to the Arizona Cardinals to needing to consume every piece of content because Mike McCarthy is no longer Green Bay's head coach. It is an amazing time, and not that amazing that he got fired. I mean, it's the right move. I think all of us were calling for McCarthy's head. But I think what it's amazing is the fact that this has never happened. This is unprecedented. It left reporters like Jason Wilde shocked. Jason Wilde had told Homer on the Pack Attack for ESPN Wisconsin that he said, you know, if this happens, I'm surprised, not shocked. And he said, and then it actually happened, and I'm shocked. Like, and I think we all are. I mean, I was in the grocery store. I went away from my kind of computer and I wrote what I did about the game and didn't mention anything about McCarthy being fired. I just said, you know, this is an awful loss and this team quit. And I think I basically wrote that the writing is on the wall. And Mark Murphy saw it too. I think Mark Murphy believed that this team had quit. And Mark Murphy's a bottom line guy. Mark Murphy cares about the image of the Packers. He cares about how much money he's going to line his pockets with. He's very Herb Cole in that way. And I think this whole thing was a big fuck you to the fans. And I'm not saying that the fans matter. They don't. I mean, but to put out this kind of effort at home, it makes people like me who have tickets for next week against the Falcons or the final week of the season against the Lions being like, why should I go? Why should I waste my time? And this sort of height, this sort of move, I think really does give people like me a little bit of like, all right, well, let's see what this team looks like without McCarthy. Let's see what they look like. Because I'll be honest, I think you're going to see a really good game for the Packers against an Atlanta team who also has kind of quit. I mean, they're 4-8. They're pretty much done. It's a battle of two of the most disappointing franchises of the 2018 season. And so will the Packers look galvanized? Is this the galvanizing moment? Were the Packers a week late? I think that will be a conversation we will have by the end of the year, especially if this team wins the rest of their games. We'll see if that does come to fruition. But with McCarthy being wrong, being gone, this team just did not look sharp at all on Sunday. They looked like they did not practice all week. They looked like they just went through the motions. It looked like Minnesota had ended their season last week and they didn't play with the playoff machine like our boy Nolan Murphy and I did this week, even though we said we wouldn't, because that they didn't realize that, yeah, there could have been a chance for the Packers to get in. And lo and behold, everything broke the way it should have for the Packers. Vikings lost, Carolina lost. You had the Bears also losing. So literally every door opened up for the Packers. And if they're 5-6 right now, it is an entirely different story, and all of a sudden, they are right in the mix. And then Philly and Washington play tonight, and that's going to be an elimination game in a way. So all of this stuff could have really played to the Packers' strength. Instead, they lost a game that they never should have lost. I mean, there have been some bad home losses. They've had one really bad home loss a year. They had the loss against Baltimore last year where they were blown out. They had the loss 2 years ago to Indianapolis when Indianapolis was kind of in a flux, shall we say, and they came into Green Bay and beat the Packers. I was there. It was an awful loss. It was one of the tougher losses to swallow. It was the first time I had seen Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre lose in Lambeau Field. I had never witnessed that before 2016. Rodgers didn't look sharp. It was his 35th birthday, and he looked like he was he'd rather had been celebrating on a yacht with Danica. He did not really look like he was ready to play the game. He was the checkdown artist. He did the Alex Smith special. He did not have one pass over 20 yards. And people in Evan Silva's mentioned, Evan Silva, the Roto World analyst, great follow. If you somehow do not follow him on Twitter, absolutely do that. But Evan pointed out that he had not had a completion more than 20 yards. Well, that to me was crazy in its own right, but also, like, I don't think Rodgers tried. Like, I mean, Pro Football Talk put out an article this morning about Rodgers is throwing balls away to avoid interceptions, which could be true, could be not. I'd have to look into more to say, oh, that guy's open or there's a window. But I think the idea of Rodgers only having one interception, which amazes analysts, is I think a lot of that is not necessarily accurate. I think that the one interception is really due to the fact that Rodgers tries way too hard to make the perfect pass. And instead of throwing it in there like Brett Favre used to, he throws it away. And we need more Favre out of Rodgers. And I hope the next coach gets that. And I part of it really does think Rodgers doesn't want, I don't know. I'm not saying he threw the season, but I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers was at his best all year. And I think there's a correlation there. I think he wanted to get Mike McCarthy fired, especially later on in the year. I think more so in the final few weeks. And Rodgers wanted to look, how can I make this team look as bad as possible? And Rodgers' frustration of these players slipping out of their routes was so, like, in a way appalling, because I thought that, you know, this team, like, dude, Davante Adams had a couple catches today, and he's had at least one or two catches a week where he makes Aaron Rodgers look a hell of a lot better than he's actually been this season. So Aaron, the last people that Aaron should be mad at should be the receivers right now, because he's just so off his game. And so it'll be a very interesting week against Atlanta to see what kind of Aaron Rodgers we get. And that might point to what's going on. And, you know, McCarthy's time, going back to McCarthy, and it's all interwoven, but McCarthy's time ran out pretty quickly. I think the move should have been made last week. I think Mark Murphy, if you want to go a little theory and a little just, this is all subjective, but I think Murphy might have had an idea that this move needed to be made after Minnesota. They get embarrassed again on primetime, and I'm sure there was a conversation had with either the board or with maybe McCarthy or Gunakus that said, should we get rid of McCarthy this week? Should we shake it up and go down the final road? Well, we can't do that. We have to trust the fact that McCarthy can pull it right this ship and get it together, because he is a successful head coach. I know that is like a meme basically in the Packer world, but he is a very successful head coach. He is a guy who's done it before. So what, you know, Arizona was a get right spot. You're a 14.5 point favorite. You're at home. This is a perfect opportunity to just blow the doors off a awful team and everybody feeling better. And then all of a sudden you get Atlanta would have been 4-8 and everything would be looking good. And it didn't happen. And the Packers look lifeless. They looked like a team. And I said this in my blog, SnowsWI, it's a website, on Sunday. It looks like a team who had its guts, its brain, its heart left in Minnesota. And they were just a body without feeling. They were, you know, and that's coaching. And that is, Mike McCarthy did not do anything to rally the troops. The message had went stale. And we thought that the message went stale throughout the year with just losses like the Washington one, the Detroit one. I mean, there were countless losses where Green Bay looked unprepared and not ready to go. And then once the game started, they started to figure themselves out. The only game where Green Bay really looked ready to roll from the get-go was the Los Angeles Rams game. That was the only one all year where Green Bay sort of looked prepared and ready for the moment. Other than that, the Packers looked like a team who just was going through the motions. And you went through the motions again against Arizona, and you got absolutely beat. and Arizona controlled that game second and third quarter, and Green Bay tried to turn it on in the fourth, and it was a little too late. And there were injuries and things of that ilk where, you know, if Eddie Pleasant, who's Eddie Pleasant, right? I mean, my dad did his resume last week. I mean, Eddie Pleasant is a nobody, but he still almost made a huge play that would have ended the game, or it would have gave the Packers perfect opportunity to either score or hit a field goal. And Mason Crosby had a chance to send it to overtime. I mean, Packers win that game in overtime, Mike McCarthy isn't fired. So those who really wanted Mike McCarthy gone, this was a blessing. This was a blessing in disguise. And I think a lot of people are okay with the loss, or they've gotten over the fact they lost this terrible Arizona team because the Packers were able to get rid of Mike McCarthy. And that was the goal of this season for so many Packer fans. And maybe for the players, really. I mean, if we're being honest, I hate to say that. It makes me feel uncomfortable almost saying that, but that game felt like a team trying to get its coach fired. And that's what they did. That operation worked. And now Mike McCarthy's gone. Joe Philbin takes over. Joe Philbin was obviously the coach of Miami. Rodgers has a decent relationship with him. I don't know if Philbin's going to call the plays. That has not been made clear. Maybe Philbin will just let Rodgers sling it. Maybe, you know, he in a way is an empty suit. I mean, if they go on a 4-0 run, I would assume Philbin will get a chance to interview. Mike Patton, I'm sure, will have some help with the game plan. So help me God, if Ron Zook is somehow involved. Ron Zook, to me, should have also been fired. Who knows? Maybe that move is made before the week is done. That would be great. There's no real reason to think Philbin will keep this job after the 4 weeks. Maybe he'll get sort of a complimentary interview to just sort of say, hey, look, here is there. The replacements for McCarthy is a long list. You're going to hear so many different takes from different people. The hottest of hot take will be people who think Brett Favre should be the head coach of the Packers. That, to me, if you want to spot a pinhead, that is the one. If you hear, oh, well, I think it should be Brett Favre. And he has some experience coaching high school. I'm telling you right now, anyone who suggests Brett Favre as the head coach is a fucking idiot. Just purely an idiot. That's it. Also, those who think Joe Lombardi, because he's Vince's grandson, should also get the gig are just a notch below, because he was a terrible offensive coordinator for the Lions. So that makes perfect sense that he should be taking over the Packers job. Now he works for the Saints. He does the ads with USAA. But there is no way that Joe Lombardi should be the head coach of the Packers as well. So if you hear either of those comments, just know that's how you spot a pinhead. My favorite, personally, is Matt LaFleur. So Matt LaFleur, it's kind of like a McCarthy hire, right? Because he is the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. Now, Tennessee Titans are not a juggernaut offense by any shape of the imagination, but Matt LaFleur is a very young coach. He comes from the Sean McVay coaching tree, one of the first to come from that tree. The Titans hired him away from the Rams last year, and I think the Packers should do the same. LaFleur has some of that new concept, that feel. It seems like a guy who would be perfect for Aaron Rodgers to usher in the new generation of the Green Bay Packers. I really do think that Matt would be that type of guy. He's close in age to Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that would throw him off, being Rodgers. I think LaFleur would be a great ideas guy, and it'd be a great way to sort of advance the Green Bay Packers into the 2018 or 2019 season. Josh McDaniels will get a ton of love. You're going to hear a lot of Josh McDaniels buzz. Albert Breer is sort of McDaniels' mouthpiece at this point. And I don't mean that to be critical of Breer. I know some people don't like him. I personally
don't find any issue. But Breer, to me, has been pushing the McDaniels narrative to the Packers pretty hard. He was pushing it the last couple of weeks. I think you're going to see him amplify it even further with the Boston media and say McDaniels is the favorite. He's the guy that's going to go. I think it's all from McDaniels' camp personally. So I'm not saying don't believe it, but I'm also saying don't necessarily buy too much into it. I don't like Josh McDaniels. I think he's kind of a weasel. I think he's a snake. I do not think he would be a guy that, if basically here's how I view McDaniels. If McDaniels will coach Packers until the Patriots job opens back up, whenever Bill Belichick decides to retire, and if he retires, McDaniels will just take that job instead. And he will then take the Patriots job and try to leave and try to organize a way out. And McDaniels was not a good coach for Denver. He made a lot of enemies. He very fiery guy. I don't know if that would work well with Rodgers. I have a lot of trepidation about that hire because I just think that there are so many issues with just the idea of Josh McDaniels. I just can't get down with it. I really can't. Joe DiFilippo and P. Carmichael Jr. will get a lot of buzz in additional NFL offensive coordinator circles. Now, I think the idea of either of those guys is fine. I think DiFilippo is a name that people have heard. He's working, obviously, now for the Vikings. He was Carson Wentz's quarterback's coach. He hasn't necessarily come through and been a shining star for the Vikings. Now, is that Kirk Cousins related? Is that just the fact that they are whatever, you know, that they're not a juggernaut offense? I'm not sure. So maybe that makes DiFilippo a little bit McCarthy-like in his own right. I think Vikings fans might be fine with the fact of getting rid of DiFilippo, which would not necessarily be a good sign. Now, you could argue that getting a guy like DiFilippo in there would give you a edge against the Vikings going forward and knowing how to beat that offense. Remember, the Eagles had put 40 points up on the Vikings last year with the brain trust of DiFilippo and Frank Reich. Pete Carmichael has worked with the Saints offense. He's the offensive coordinator, but is he just a Joe Philbin guy? Would that just be like hiring Joe Philbin? Because Carmichael is not calling the plays. I mean, that's a Sean Payton-driven offense. And how much is Pete Carmichael involved with making the plays and making that Saints offense roll? I'd be a little concerned about that idea of Carmichael. The other name that might be thrown around NFL-wise that's more of the special team side of things would be John Harbaugh. Now, John Harbaugh is the coach of the Ravens. The Ravens right now are a playoff team. Some people have thought that the Ravens will move on past John Harbaugh, that they need more of a young mind like a LaFleur, like a Lincoln Riley, who we're going to get to in a hot second here. But I think the idea of Harbaugh would be great. I do think that Harbaugh is a John, not Jim, is a mild-mannered guy. I think he'd be perfect for Aaron Rodgers. I really do think that those two would work well together. And he just need a offensive genius, you know, like a Cliff Kingsbury running the plays. And that's, for a lot of people, has sort of been the dream. Retaining Patton, although Wink Martindale, who's the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, I think would be an upgrade from Patton. I really do. I know Patton has done well, but Wink Martindale has had an awesome defense this year with the Ravens. I think Harbaugh would, though, ask that they bring in free agents. I think the Ravens have been more free agent focused than the Packers have in the past. I would imagine Harbaugh would have some say there. He would be a very popular name for so many teams, though, because he's had success. He won a Super Bowl. He's similar to McCarthy, but he's not an offensive guy, so he's not going to come in and demand that he's going to be the play caller. From a defensive side of things, I really think the only person would be Vic Fangio, but also I'm a little nervous about bringing in defensive guys. They just haven't really connected. I mean, Mike Zimmer has been the only one that has seemingly been successful in recent memory of bringing a defensive guy in. I mean, if you're bringing in Fangio with an offensive coordinator, whether that is, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, who knows where Cliff's going to go. He may decide to go to USC. He may turn down the Trojans because they may look at him as a head coach. I personally would not. I personally think of him as an offensive coordinator, but there are teams who apparently think he could be a head coach right away, even though he was unsuccessful with the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So I don't know if I can see Vic Fangio. I get it. But again, that would give you an edge against Matt Nagy and the Bears. But Fangio just, to me, does not scream head coach. He just screams defensive coordinator, just like a lot of defensive coordinators do. And heading into the college ranks, Lincoln Riley is an obvious name. Lincoln Riley is a guy who everybody is going to want. I want Lincoln Riley. I think Lincoln Riley is a genius. I've been told that Lincoln Riley, the one thing I know about this coaching hire or coaching search is that it doesn't seem like Lincoln Riley wants to leave the Southwest area, maybe looking more in Texas. He's kind of, let's just put it this way, he's disappointed the Cowboys have gotten hot. So who knows? Maybe Lincoln Riley has no interest in the Packers or the Browns. And to be honest, this is a tough pill to swallow as a Packer fan, but if Lincoln Riley wanted to choose between the Packers or Browns, I think he's going to coach the Browns. I think he's going to coach Baker Mayfield. He's going to coach a young roster. He's going to coach something he knows. If you ask in Lincoln Riley, what would you rather do? Coach the Packers, which is a historic franchise, with an Aaron Rodgers who might not listen to you, who's older than you, or coach Baker Mayfield, who treats you like a god, you're going to choose Baker Mayfield 10 times out of 10. It's just, I'm sorry, that's obvious. And Packer fans should really get their minds to that. That if Lincoln Riley's going to go to the NFL, he's going to go coach the Browns. He's not going to go coach the Green Bay Packers. I love Lincoln Riley, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think it's realistic. The other one that's worth mentioning, and I hate myself for mentioning it, but he has some Packer roots, is James Franklin. I want James Franklin nowhere near the Packers. James Franklin ranks last on my list. Do not touch James Franklin with a 10-foot pole, please. James Franklin, all he did last year was had to take a step back with lack of talent, with no Saquon last year, and it's pretty evident that Penn State was not the same team. Franklin, to me, is a fake sort of motivational guy. I just do not think he fits the NFL mold at all. His decision-making is McCarthy-like. I would not want James Franklin coaching the Green Bay Packers. I don't think Franklin and Rodgers would work well together. I do not see that being there. But there's going to be rumors all throughout the next 4 weeks. It's very similar, as my buddy Eric pointed out, it's very similar to the Bucs last season. It's running parallel. So we're going to hear rumors. I'm sure we'll hear some wild things. I'm sure we'll hear some name get thrown out there that you're going to like, huh? What? Him? Like, I know that'll happen. So we'll wait and see. All right, really quick, rapid fire on the other topics. Because, like, even though that Mike McCarthy got fired, there are other topics we're talking about. They're basketball-wise, the Bucks, man, not a good loss to the Knicks. Worst loss of the year for the Bucks. They're now, I believe, 8-7 since their 7-0 start. Are you worried? I don't know, Jim. A little bit. I'm a little worried about the Bucks. Tough week here with them playing the Pistons, and then they play the Warriors as well. I think it's definitely going to be a challenge for the Bucks this week and to see what they can do. They need to sort of figure out their team. I don't know if they lose that game if Chris Middleton doesn't get himself in the doghouse. So thank you, Chris Middleton, and your hangover. The Bucks and Knicks are developing a rivalry thanks to Mario Hezonja. Be a very interesting Christmas Day matchup. As for college basketball, Marquette scored a very impressive win over Kansas State. That is a major resume booster, and Marquette now at 2-2 with the non-conference games that matter. Wisconsin on deck on Saturday. That would make it 3-2, and then you're a little bit of a house money game against Buffalo. Granted, if you could go 4-2 this month in December, you are in a very good position for the tournament moving forward. As for the Badgers, they knock off another undefeated team. They do that to Iowa on the road. This Badger team is hell-bent on showing you that this is a different team and that this is a sort of Wisconsin revenge tour idea, that they are sort of on this revenge tour. It continues on tonight against Rutgers. Granted, they took care of business against Rutgers last year, but then they get Marquette on Saturday, which is a team that blew them out on their home court. So the Badgers would like to return the favor at the brand new Fiserv Forum. Speaking of Badgers going to their football team, they're going to the Pinstripe Bowl to play Miami. Pretty lame bowl, if you ask me. Badgers-Miami met last year. To me, that shows no creativity, no idea. I can't believe the ACC put Miami there. I know Miami has a strong New York contingent, but at the same time, I really have no idea why the Pinstripe Bowl would want a rematch with Wisconsin. I can't really put my brain around it. Miami, to me, is one of the worst sort of down-the-stretch teams. The Badgers should have a pretty good advantage there. And again, go out on a high note. Badgers now meet the Hurricanes. I think this is the third time now that they've met in a bowl game in the last 20 years. So kind of would have rather had a variety, whether it be an NC State or a Georgia Tech or someone else would have fit that mold. Cool for Badger fans if they wanted to go do a little post-Christmas in New York. I mean, talk about actually a really good trip if you want to do, say, get away for the holidays. Go try to see the Bucks on Christmas Day. I'm sure those tickets are ridiculous. But you could go see the Bucks on Christmas Day. Think about this. You could do this. You could go see the Packers play the Jets on Sunday. You could then go see the Badgers and, you then go see the Bucks and Knicks on Tuesday, Christmas Day. And then on Thursday, you go see the Badgers and the Hurricanes in Yankee Stadium. That's a hell of a week. I mean, that's a very expensive week. But if you have dollars to throw around, man, that would be a great week in New York. So I will not be doing that because I do not have those deep pockets. SnowTap does not pay me enough. All right, take care. We'll be back tomorrow. Well, I'm sure we'll have more comments about the McCarthy stuff. We have the Mark Murphy press conference to go over, as well as anything else under the sun. I'm sure we'll chat more about maybe some of the more basketball-y topics since we only gave it about 4 minutes today. All right, take care of yourselves. Have a great Monday. See you tomorrow.